Good morning, Crossville Church. Usually I get up here and I tell you a list of things that are happening this week, but instead I'm going to tell you a list of things that aren't happening this week. There will be no choir practice tonight. There will be no small groups tonight. The office will be closed on Wednesday for New Year's. Bread of Life, we do have a needs list in the foyer, if you could supply something for that. Next Sunday we will have our regular services and we will be having an all-church meeting afterwards. The church will provide the meat, but please bring vegetable dishes and desserts. Christmas cards are now in the foyer. They were over there, so if you haven't picked up the ones addressed to you, they're out there. If they aren't addressed to you, don't take them. Other than that, events are in the bulletin, and our offering boxes are in the back. As usual, we thank you for your giving.
Wow, it's good to see you this morning. I told Susie and Jack when we got here earlier, I said, well, if it's just us here today, we will pray and go home. We have a lot of people sick. We have some folks out of town, but we have a lot of people sick. And so I am glad that you are here, and we're going to have a great day today as we worship the Lord together. So stand with us as we're able. We're going to sing a couple of Christmas carols, and one of them that is not a Christmas carol, but that's okay. Just join in with us and worship the Lord.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessing flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who You are. of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Most of the time when we're singing Christmas carols, we sing a lot of the old Christmas carols. A few years ago, All Is Well was written. It has probably become one of my favorite Christmas songs. If there's anything that our world needs to hear, it is that all can be well. I know not everything is well in our world today, but I'm thankful that because Jesus is in our hearts, the world around us may be crazy. The world around us may suggest that there is nothing else out there, but I'm thankful that we can have peace that passes all understanding. And I'm thankful that it's because of a child who was born, who grew up, who lived, who died, who was resurrected and is now ascended, that we can say all is well. And it can be well in our souls today. All is well. All is well. Angels and men rejoice. Christ
Lord, I just think of the words you spoke through your Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church when he said that no foundation can be laid other than that which is in Christ Jesus. We understand you to be our rock, to be our salvation, and so we thank you for giving us something that does not fleet or fade, but something that is secure, someone on whom we can build our life. We thank you for sending your Son to us, knowing that everything we do in his name has eternal weight and eternal worth, and apart from him, we have nothing. We thank you for that clarity that you've granted us in that reality, that is your Son, Jesus, and we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him today, for he is our righteousness, our justice, and our peace. We thank you for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we're going to be beginning with verse 13 and reading down through verse 17 here in just a few moments. Have you thought or have you spent much time thinking about life lately? I mean, it is amazing when you stop and think about it, you know. For the past few weeks, I've been thinking about this service this morning. One of the reasons that I've been thinking about it is normally in the month of January, you know that I preach on stewardship, and that has been my custom for I don't know how many years. Susie might could tell me it's lot forever. I thank you, appreciate that. Anyway, this year we're going to go in a little different direction in January. We're going to go in a little different direction and begin to pick up with a theme that we're going to try to hang on to the entire year. We're going to be talking about prayer in the month of January and what prayer really does for us in our lives and how it is part of that relationship that we have with God. And so I thought what I would do is instead of preaching the entire month of January on stewardship, that I would just preach today on stewardship. That's the reason everybody stayed home. No, I'm kidding. As I was thinking about this message and as I was putting it together, I came across an article on the human genome. Just some light reading, you know, that I thought I would do. You know how much I like space, and if you're not part of our congregation or haven't been part of our congregation very long, I am an absolute space nut. I love to read about space. I love to read about the universe, the pictures and the photographs from the telescopes that we have. They absolutely amaze me. And so when I saw this article on the human genome, since I have space figured out, I decided that I would figure out humanity. That's even funnier if you stop and think about it, you know. The author of the article was talking about the fact that there could be 100 trillion variations or possibilities that could make up our human DNA.
And I'll be honest, I thought that number was a little too far-fetched, so I went looking to see what I could find, and as I went looking to see what I could find, I found out that scientists say that there's an infinite number of possibilities in relation to the human genome and our DNA, and so that 100 trillion and an infinite number, it was a little bit beyond my understanding, so I decided that what I would do is that I would Google, I mean, that's the source of everything, I decided that I would Google the number of possible variations that could occur at conception. I mean, there you have two cells coming together, 23 chromosomes in each cell, and how many variations could there be? After all, 23 times 23 is 539. So you can't have that many until I began to look and find out that in those 23 chromosomes that are in one cell, that there could be 8 million variations among those 23 chromosomes. And so when those two cells come together, you multiply 8 million times 8 million, and you get 64 trillion. I'm back to 100 trillion almost, you know. I couldn't help but think about what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. We're going to get to James, I promise you. Just hold on. It made me think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 39, beginning with verse 13, when he said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Listen at verse 17 and 18. "How precious are your thoughts, God. How vast," listen, "how vast is the sum of them." Verse 18. "Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." So maybe 64 trillion, maybe infinite numbers are not so far-fetched after all. Infinite possibilities right there in that. "Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." I know you're sitting there this morning thinking, "William, what in the world is this all about? Where are you going with all this?" Well, it's really very simple, because this whole thing started in my mind with one simple question. Okay? And here it is. What am I going to do with the life that I've been given? What am I going to do with the life that I've been given? I mean, we're here at the close of the year. People are making all kinds of revolutions. People are making all kinds of resolutions about what they're going to do with their lives. But I will tell you that probably by January the 15th, most of those resolutions are going to be tossed aside, just like the toys that we so carefully bought for our kids and grandkids. That's kind of pessimistic, isn't it? You know. James, in James chapter 4, He asked this question that we all really think about. We may not dwell on it, but we all think about it from time to time. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Wow. Now let's read that whole passage. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. I mean, he speaks to us there about the stewardship of our lives. Listen at what he says. "Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow we will go into this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, I'll be honest with you. As I begin to think about this passage, this is not a New Year's sermon. At least it never has been for me until this week. And he begins those words with "now listen." And that those words "now listen," as he says there in verse 13, they are basically saying, "Listen up, pay attention." In fact, this combination of words you only find used twice in the New Testament. One is right here in verse 13, and the next one is in chapter 5, verse 1, when he says again, now listen. So James is trying to catch our attention. And so my sermon for us this morning is, it's already on the screen, you better pay attention. You better look, you better listen, you better pay attention. So if he's trying to catch our attention, what is he really trying to say? The first thing that I think that James is trying to tell us here is that we have no idea what the future holds. We have no idea what the future holds. Look at verse 13 one more time. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Please understand, I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, much less next year. The writer of the Proverbs in Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. The only time that we really understand, the only time that we really know is right here, right now. Yesterday is called a past because it's already passed. Tomorrow is not here yet. I don't recall the first time I heard this, and it's a little bit corny there toward the end, so forgive me when I say it. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. We've all heard that, you know. I guess it's good that we don't know the future. I mean, if we knew what tomorrow held for us, some of us, at least those of us who are like me, would probably worry ourselves sick over it. My daughter's here, and I just saw her shaking her head. Yes, you know. The only difference between me and Kaylee is one chromosome, and I can't tell you how many trillions of opportunities that could have been, you know. I mean, if we knew disaster was coming, we would despair. The rich fool made plans he thought that would give him security for the rest of his life. I mean, he planned for whatever could possibly occur, but according to Luke chapter 12, verse 20, he did not plan for what was going to happen. And Jesus said in giving this parable to us that God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? We have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. We can make all kinds of resolutions about what we are going to do, but resolutions really won't help us. Which brings us basically to the second thing that James says here, because not only does he say that we have no idea about what the future holds, but he also says this, and it's a very short statement, life is short. Life is not only uncertain, it's short. I mean, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. J.B. Phillips paraphrases it like this, you are like a puff of smoke, visible for a little while and then dissolving into thin air. I wonder if James maybe was thinking of what is said in Job chapter 7, verse 9, where it says, as the clouds fade and vanish. The word mist here is where we get our word atmosphere, and James is probably thinking of the morning mist that appeared for a little time over the Mediterranean Sea, and then when the sun came out, it was gone. A few months ago, it doesn't seem like it should be that long, but it was. A few months ago, a group of us went to Greenville after the flood up there, and the church where we were eating and doing all that needed to be done there, it was quite a ways from the place that we were working. Jack was with a group, and they had already left, and so Bill and I were riding from the church there out to the work site on Bumpus Road. I got that right, didn't I? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We saw some of the most beautiful area of Tennessee that I have ever seen. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. We rode through those roads and actually made a wrong turn based on what the GPS was telling us, and we came back and saw one place twice, you know. But as we were riding, and we would kind of be up a little bit on a rise, you could see down into the valley, and coming out of this valley were these mists, these wisps of moisture. And I told Bill, I said, that's why they call it the Smoky Mountains, because I said, it looks like just smoke rising up from the forest. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. I couldn't get over it as I began to look at it. And I couldn't help but think of verse 14. So maybe this sermon had its roots way back there, you know. I couldn't help but think of verse 14 as I began to watch all that. And we don't like to think of ourselves as this fragile mist that's here one moment and gone the next. I was watching a video last night, and they were interviewing a lady who was celebrating her 100th birthday. And folks, please understand, even if we live to be 100, that is basically just a freckle on a blip of time in relation to what this thing is. We think that we're here, that's all there is, that there isn't anymore. You know, eventually we will evaporate from history. Aren't you glad you came and heard that this morning? You know? John Blanchard said, the moment a man is born, he begins to die, and death could come at any time. By design, disease, disaster, or decay, man is not here to stay, man is here to go. The psalmist said in Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, you have made my days as a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. The psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 47, remember how short my time is. He says in Psalm 102, verse 3, for my days pass away like smoke. Psalm 144, verse 4, man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. I read this week that someone says, we often think this is the land of the living, and when we die, we go into the land of the dead. The opposite is true. This is the land of the dying. When our life is over here, we spend eternity in the land of the living. Wow. Life is uncertain. There is no doubt about that. And life is also very, very short. There's no doubt about that. So, I think James is telling us here that we better pay attention because we have no idea what the future holds. And that we better pay attention because life is short. But I think he also gives us one more thing. And, I mean, there's a lot more in that passage that I'm not even touching this morning. But I think he gives us one more thing that we really need to pay attention to. And that is this fact that we need to do what we know we should do. Verse 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So we need to do what we know we should do. I mean, it's basically a warning that you and I do know what we should be doing. At least I think we do. I think that we know how we should be living. At least I hope we do. But to say that I'm going to be in control of my life is basically saying, I know, God, what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. I know better than you. Isn't that funny? There are a whole lot of people out in our world that think they've not done anything that's really that bad, so they're in good shape. I mean, and we'll even point to other people and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. It reminds me of what Jesus told about the publican and the sinner. When the publican stood there and prayed this long prayer and said, I'm glad I'm not like him. There's no room for any of us to compare anything, folks. And we need to realize that sin is sin. There's really not any difference. Edmund Burke said that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I realize he was a politician and he was a philosopher. But I want you to understand that the same truth applies to you and to me today. The only way that evil can overcome is for us to really do nothing that we know that we should be doing. I mean, James here is addressing sins of omission, which is a failing to do of what God has commanded us to do. I mean, sins of commission, we understand those. Those are things that we do, you know, actively do. The Apostle Paul talked about both when he talked about it in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. There, I mean, the Apostle Paul there talked about the struggle that he had with both when he describes not doing what he knows he should be doing and not doing what he shouldn't be doing. I mean, he gives us all of this conflict that he has going on, sins of omission, sins of commission. Now, most of us in this room would do our best to avoid sins of commission, but maybe we're guilty of sins of omission. We would never rob a bank. Stewardship message, remember that, but would we rob God? Oh, I went from preaching to meddling, I understand. We wouldn't allow smut into our minds, but we fail to put the Word of God in our minds. We wouldn't allow a friend to do without. But what about that guy on the street corner that when we see him from a distance, we get into the other lane so that we won't have to look at him eye to eye? That happened yesterday. And I was the one that got in the other lane so that I would not have to look at him eye to eye. And then had to look at this sermon this morning again. Isn't it amazing how God brings conviction when we need conviction? I mean, the list could go on and on. But the best way to deal with any kind of sin is to be faithful to what Jesus said. After all, He did mean what He said, didn't He? Y'all have heard that for a few times the past few weeks, haven't you? We look at what He said, and then sometimes we just kind of ignore it, like it really is not what He meant, but He did mean what He said. Some of us are, you might even say, well, you know, Pastor, I'll get to that one day. Can I tell you something? Delayed obedience is disobedience. We don't want our kids to say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. We want them to do it now when we tell them. Do you think God wants us to do what He wants us to do when He wants us to do it? It's awfully quiet in here. I guess all the people who amen are out today. I'm really going to get real personal here for a moment, okay? What have you been omitting in your life? Do you have any delayed obedience in your life? I mean, James says it pretty straight. To the ones that know to do good and they don't do it, to them it is sin. So evidently, based on what James is saying here, that we need to pay attention and do what we know we should do when he speaks to us about doing it. Application. And y'all are saying, thank the Lord he is to that point. Do you remember the question that I started the whole thing out with this morning? I mean, you might have got lost in the whole human genome thing, and I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, okay? I really am, because that made an impact on me that I want to share with you. But the question that started all of this, for me at least, in this message was, what am I doing with the life I've been given? What are you doing with the life that you have been given? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? You see, I don't have any idea what the future holds, and life is short. And so I need to do what I need to do when I need to do it. We've been given one life. How are we going to use it? In 2025, what are you going to do that you have not done in 2024? In 2025, what are you not going to do that you have been doing in 2024? Next Sunday morning, we're going to share with you some exciting information about what's going on in our church, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm just believing God is doing great things, and we're going to see, we're going to talk to you about some of those things and some of the plans that are being made, and I want to encourage you, but I really want you to think about what are you going to do with the life that you've been given? Not in relation to just all that out there. What are you going to do in the church with the life and the talents that you have been given? What are you going to do? I've been asked a lot about retirement lately. I don't know whether that was a suggestion or just curiosity. And the honest truth is, I don't have very many good answers, you know. I'm not sure what God has in store. I don't even know what's going to happen today, as I said a while ago. Jack Graham said, if you're not dead, you're not done. God still has work for you to do. And then he said, that thought cheers me up. At the moment, I'm not dead, therefore I'm not done. I figure if I live each day as if it might be my last, one day I'm bound to be right. What are you going to do with the life that you've been given? You better pay attention. Now to the human genome thing. Okay? I won't go back and repeat all that in the introduction. But I want you to get this. This may be for somebody here this morning. It may be for somebody this, I don't know. But I want you to understand that of all of the trillions of possibilities that were out there, you are you. Okay? And you are who you are, and God knew who you would be and loved you and died for you. Therefore, you are not a mistake. You are part of God's plan. And so don't let anybody put you down. Don't let anybody make you feel like you are inadequate or that you are a mistake. You are part of a 64 trillion, one in 64 trillion possibility. That makes you very special. That even made me feel good about William. I'm telling you. I mean, I knew I was good looking and all that kind of stuff, but don't miss out on the wonderful possibility of what God has planned for you. You are one in 64 trillion, and He had a purpose for you being here. Don't miss out on that. See, our job in 2025 is to pay attention to God's Word. Our job in 2025 is to live out by doing what we know we should be doing. And by doing that, God is going to do great and marvelous things in the life of our church. But more than that, He's going to do great and marvelous things in your life. And in the lives of people who are right around you, because you are doing what you know you should be doing, you're paying attention. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning. Perhaps, Lord, we needed to be reminded that we don't know what the future holds. We make big plans, but life sometimes is very short. And so with the life that we have been given, this magnificent life, this one in 64 trillion life that you have given to us, help us, God, that we would do what you have called us to do, that we would do what we know we should be doing, and Lord, we'll impact our world in ways that we could have never dreamed of when we simply follow your plan for our lives.
We don't have any clue what 2025 is going to be like. We don't know. But we thank you, God, that you do. And that you are at work. And that truly, whatever happens, all can be well. All will be well. Because of your power, because of your presence, because of your working in our lives. We give you glory this morning for who you are and for what you are going to do. We're going to gather next Sunday and we're going to talk about plans that we hope to see come to fruition. Thank you for your blessing on our church in 2024. But Lord, you're not done with us. You have great things for us to accomplish. And so we rejoice in that, and we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. I thank you for this time that we've had together. And we praise you and give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Susie, would you come to the piano? We're going to sing that last song one more time. And I don't know, maybe you need to pray this morning. I wouldn't try to tell you what you need to do. But if the Lord spoke to your heart about something, whatever it may be, maybe you need to come and pray for a friend, or maybe you just need to come and tell him thank you for what he's done in 2024, and that he'll help you to do what you know you need to do in 2025. I don't know. I wouldn't try to presume anything, but I want us to sing this last song that we sang just a little while ago as our benediction this morning. All is well. Would you stand with me?
All is well, all is well. Angels and men rejoice, for tonight darkness fell into the dawn of love's light. Sing alle, sing alle, alleluia. All is well, all is well. Let there be peace on earth. Christ is come, go and tell that he is in the manger. Sing sing alleluia. All is well, all is well. Lift up your voice and sing. Emmanuel, born is our Lord and Savior. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. All is well.
I hope you have a very, very happy new year. May God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. You are dismissed.